This is Mark Lynch, and this is Inquiry. My guest tonight is endurance swimmer, writer, and lecturer Lynn Cox. She has set open water swimming records all over the world, and we're talking about her latest book, Tales of Al, The Water Rescue Dog, The Making of a Super Athlete. Lynn, welcome back to the show after too long an absence. It's such a pleasure to talk to you.
It's so great talking with you again, Mark. This is so much fun.
It is. This is a really unique book. Of course, I wouldn't expect anything less from you. But this took me on a very unusual journey because it's first about one specific dog, Al, and we'll talk about that in just a second. But it's also about the joys of swimming with dogs.
It is. It is something about being in the water that draws me there, but also to have man or woman's best friend in the water and to swim out and splash around and feel their exuberance. It's contagious.
And you, at the very start of the book, is one of your earliest experiences swimming with your dog. Can you just encapsulate that? I was entranced reading that section.
My folks wanted to make sure that my brother and sisters and I were all water safe, but also the family dog. And she was a Dalmatian named Beth, and she was the sweetest little puppy. And my parents taught her how to swim just like they taught us, with constant reinforcement, support. They didn't just throw her in the water like some people do with dogs or puppies, which is
terrifying.
Or people. Or people or kids. And so that was the way we learned to swim. And so watching them teach her was so good, because we saw them look at her as she started to coordinate her paws, just like we had coordinated our arm strokes. And then from there, you could see them like giving her less support as she got her strength and then started to actually swim. And she would swim with all of us in the evenings or afternoons in Maine when we were swimming together in this place called Snow Pond.
Wow.
She absolutely adored my mom, so she would often swim out and try to grab her by the wrist and bring her to shore.
Was she afraid that she was drowning?
I think she was afraid that my mom would drown, and my mom was like the most relaxed person I've ever seen in the water. But also mom fed Beth, and I think there was that connection too. And so Beth wanted to make sure that nothing happened to her.
You write that part of your love of swimming probably comes from Beth.
Yes, it does, because she was, I mean, when you look at a dog who leaps into the water and just rushes out across the water, and then you see the tail even wagging, but it's partly for balance, but it's also for enthusiasm. You can't help but feel that way, too.
And she also ate your liver.
Oh, yes. Oh, my mom. That was a thing during growing up, and a lot of friends have related to this, that their moms and dads thought that feeding them a liver once a week or once a month was a good thing.
I came from that era too.
Oh my gosh. And so I would like welcome Beth to put her head in my lap under the table and I'd feed her the liver. And she was so good because she wouldn't like shake her collar and let anyone know that she was doing this for me.
I learned a lot about dog swimming, and again, we'll get to the specific case of Al in just a bit, but dogs have to keep paddling in order to stay afloat. Otherwise, they sink.
Well, to some extent, I mean, there are some dogs that just can almost float, and there was one golden retriever who was like that, where she just looked like this tiny little old lady just paddling along leisurely. But then she did the most amazing thing. She would take a big breath and put her face in the water and blow bubbles. And I started asking around, have you ever seen this before? And it turns out, yes, they do this, but it's the way to keep the water out their nose. And
okay.
I asked Bettina, who is Al's breeder, if this, and she's now a veterinarian. I asked her if this is something that's done, and she said, yes, it's instinctual. But when this golden retriever did it, her hips came up, and then she just zoomed across the water.
Now, it's important to mention, and you make this very clear with some stories in your book, not all dog breeds can swim.
No, that's really unfortunate. And not all of them swim really well. For instance, growing up, we had Italian greyhounds, and they were really heavy muscled. And they had very, very long and thin legs, and they couldn't swim well at all. They just sort of sank, and their heads would stick up, and then suddenly they'd go underwater. But also, basset hounds are very heavy.
Oh, there's a sad story in your book about.
That was part of the reason for writing the book, was to say that it's not just about kids and people being water safe. It's like you need to make sure your dogs are water safe, and leaving the doggy door open while you're gone for an hour or two or whatever, and you've got a backyard pool may be a problem.
That's right. In the case of the basset hound, they fell into the pool by accident.
Right. There were two basset hounds in Long Beach, California that would be lying out by the backyard pool, and they would go to chase something that was outside their gated area, and then they would slip and fall in the pool. And a couple times they had to be one of them had to be given CPR, which was something that I didn't really even realize that you could do for a dog. But it worked. But the dogs were terrified of the water.
Bulldogs also can't swim.
Bulldogs also. And, well, they can swim, but they can't stay up for very long. And actually, you know, a lot of people now have recognized that. And in California, and I think also I saw off the shores of Miami, they do stand-up paddleboarding, and they have little life vests that they put on the dogs, like chihuahuas and other dogs. And it totally makes sense to me, and it makes sense to do that for children and also the person that's paddling, you know, if they're not good swimmers.
Now we get to the story of Al. You're watching TV, and you're seeing this amazing scene on the television of a big, chunky Newfie going up in a helicopter and then diving off the helicopter and rescuing people.
Yeah, that's a friend told me about this school called Italian School for Water Rescue Dogs in Milan, where they train the dogs to leap out of people, out of helicopters into the ocean or the lake and save people. And I couldn't believe what I was seeing.
I couldn't believe a dog was up in a helicopter and relaxed.
Right. And actually, I watched this video again and again and other videos to see, you know, did the dog want to do this? Was the dog forced to do it? Was it something that made the dog happy? What's going on here? And also, why isn't the dog afraid of the sound of the helicopter or the force of the wind on them? And what's going on? And how do you train a dog to do this? And how do you lift 130-pound or 40-pound Newfoundland or Golden Retriever or any of the other breeds they work with into the helicopter and do this?
When I first read that it was a Newfie, I couldn't believe that dog would be swimming, because I know them as just big sort of galumphy dogs with thick coats. I was surprised that they'd be good at swimming.
They are bred to be swimmers. In fact, that's what happened initially. They were brought from Spain and Europe on board fishermen's boats. And then they were let loose in Newfoundland, and they were bred to either help bring in the fishing lines, fishing nets, or they were there to also cart fish along. And so one of the reasons why the Newfies have like big slobbery lips is because when they were pulling the fishing lines in, the long ropes, they had to hold on with their teeth.
Oh, wow.
And they had to be able to breathe. And so that's why they had the loose lips.
So you, Lynn being Lynn, you decided to go to Italy and see this?
I did, but I think it was really more than that. I think it was because I'm also really amazed by anyone or any animal that shows courage. And I was wondering...
And that's a theme in this book, too.
Right, it is. But it's also, it's like, why do you write about something? It's because you're so curious about it. And through the experience, you hope you find answers to the question. And so, you know, are people initially courageous? Is it something instinctual? Is it something trained? Are dogs trained to become courageous, or something within them that allows them to do it?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what really drew me to going to Italy to try to find out more.
Talk about this organization in Italy that trains these dogs. They're associated with the Coast Guard?
Actually, yes. They work in connection with the Italian Coast Guard. They have to pass all sorts of water tests to be able to reach the level that they go on patrol with the Coast Guard. And the idea for the school started with Ferruccio Polenga about 25 years ago now, who decided that maybe he could train his dog, who instinctually rescued his daughter and a friend when they were pulled out by a strong current. He thought maybe he could start a school where the dogs would be trained to go out and rescue people. And it turns out that this is really needed in Italy because they don't have a whole lot of lifeguards. And the majority of people in Italy don't know how to swim. So, you know, if you think about Milan, it's the design capital of the world or one of them. And so this idea right away clicked with the people. And he started the school and invited all kinds of people with their all kinds of breeds of dogs that were weighing over 50, 55 pounds to come in and attend the school. So it was amazing to go there and watch this training going on.
It's incredible reading about the training procedures. And we were talking about bravery and courage. These dogs start from when they're puppies. And there's a point where there's all these puppies on the beach that are just sort of running around. And you meet this Donatella Pasquale, whose dog is Al. Al is a big brown Newfie. And you're really not sure he's going to make it through 95% of your book because he just says Al seems a little goofy.
Well, Al, the thing about Al is that she's got something inside her that nobody really knows. And so there's this tension that goes on throughout the book because she's going to pass this test with the Coast Guard to go on patrol. And so Donatella, who's vice president of the school, who had the star dog before, and that dog's passed away, she is hoping that Al will reach whatever level she needs to reach to do this. But, you know, Al is not responding the way that Donatella expects. But given that Donatella is sort of the dog whisperer, she believes in this dog. She hopes something will happen. And I related to this so strongly because I had a coach that sort of saw that in me, like I was not the fastest swimmer on the team. And maybe, you know, if I kept working out that something would evolve. And that's what was happening with Donatella. She was just working with Al to find out if she could do what Donatella was trying to get her to do. And it's a beautiful thing that happens.
Al is so amazing. At one point in the book, a dragonfly goes by and just like Al's like on the dragonfly. It's a, instead of paying attention to what he's supposed to be, she's paying attention to. Ducks fly by and it's like a distraction. She always seems distracted.
She always seems distracted and she always seems to be focused on something other than what she's being told to do. And she kind of feels like she's the ADD, you know, dog.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, or the kid that's just like so curious about everything and it's so hard to keep him or her focused on whatever's going on, you know, and that was what was going on with Al. She just was not quite where everyone expected her to be.
And poor Donatella, because like you said, she's trained some of the best dogs in this program. And she's really bonded with this dog.
Yeah.
It's like a parent going like, I hope my child doesn't embarrass me.
That's exactly what was going on. It was just, you know, the child that's going to go up and do the first drama, the first play or something like that, or perform the first piece of music ever, and you're just hoping that it's not going to be a disaster. And that's sort of the way, you know, I'd come all the way from California to go meet with Donatella and to see how she trained Al and worked with the other trainers and owners and their dogs. And so, you know, when Al wasn't performing, it wasn't performing correctly. It was really embarrassing for Donatella.
It sounded like a tense situation. Like, she's a very serious person.
She is. But at the same time, she's very gentle. She's very compassionate. Yep. That was the other thing, was that I was concerned about the dogs being, like, made to do something they didn't want to do. And that's not what happened. If the owner or trainer or instructor at the school was trying to get a dog to do a certain thing, they would try three different times. And then if the dog couldn't do it, then they would back up and do a skill the dog knew how to do. So the dog finished on success. And then because you might be so much better at teaching the dog how to leap off a dock than I could do, because you've already done that with your dog.
Right.
I would give my dog to you, and you would work with my dog, and then maybe my dog would be able to achieve that level of whatever it was that we needed to do. And so there's this teamwork that goes on with people and the dogs, but also they start using the older dogs or the more experienced, better trained dogs to train the less experienced or the younger dogs. And so it was so much fun to watch, you know, the mature, you know, Noof that could swim a mile, working with the adolescent golden retriever that was just learning to swim a distance.
You're right about the fact that this community of people and their dogs really operated as a community, helping everybody out.
They really did. There was a sense of we're all in this together. We're all serious about what we do. We're all really professional because we want to be able to save people if they're in trouble or intercede before something goes wrong. But we also know how to enjoy doing this together. And, you know, at the end of a really heavy duty workout, they would line the puppies up and then race them to shore. And everyone would be cheering, including the other dogs. They'd be barking away. And so there was a sense of, like, we're having fun. We're doing this. And it's a good thing for our community, but for Italy. And also they do this work with teams in Germany and in Slovenia and in England and a few other places, Switzerland. So there are other people that volunteer and do water rescue training, and a lot of that also goes on in the United States now, where the Newfoundland Club of America has these water tests, and they do all sorts of exercises where they are able to let their dog go out and rescue somebody. And, you know, the cool thing is that a Newfoundland can pull in like six people at a time.
Yeah.
You know, just amazing. They're
Let's talk about that. Like, when a person is having trouble in the water and they go out in the helicopter and the Newfie goes off, how is the Newfoundland bringing the person to shore?
So the Newfoundland wears a harness, and on top of it, and the harness is inflated, and on top of it is a handle. So the Newfoundland will go off the boat or off the dock or out of the helicopter first, trailed by the owner. And the dog will swim around a person and check the person out, because if the person is afraid of dogs, the last thing you need to do is have a dog swim over, right over to the person. So the dog will do a circle, then come in close. And if the person's not afraid, they'll grab onto the handle of the harness, and that instantly lifts them up in the water. So their head's out. And then the owner of the dog will swim over and then swim to shore along with the dog, having the dog pulling the person in. And it is like so much fun to get a free ride in from the dog. It's just like, okay, can we do this again and again and again?
But they make sure that you're on shore. Like, if you, as you get in close, if you'd stop holding on, they'll circle back.
Exactly. So I was in this one instance with an older, very well trained dog named Mass, M-A-S, and her trainer was Ferruccio, and she was in the water with me, pulling me to shore, and I intentionally let go of her, let go of the handle, and she immediately circled around me and presented the harness to me again to hold on.
Wow.
So they just feel the resistance and know. And but, you know, here in the United States, it's pretty cool because they do this test where they have a rubber inflatable kayak, and they have a person in it, and they flip it over, and then they release the dog from shore, and the dog has to swim out, dive under the kayak, pull the person out, and pull the person to shore.
Whoa.
It's amazing. You know, it's like, this is so far beyond sit, stay, come. And it's like, wow, how amazing, you know?
Yeah. You're listening to WICN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name is Mark Lynch. My guest tonight, returning after so long an absence, is Lynn Cox, endurance swimmer, writer, lecturer. She has set open water swimming records all over the world, and her new book is just a really wonderful read. Tales of Al, the Water Rescue Dog, the Making of a Super Athlete. This is also the story of Lynn in Milan.
Exactly.
You write a lot about what it was like to just ride around with everybody just zooming all over the place, and the great food. The food sounded amazing.
Yeah, for anyone who's a foodie, I wrote a lot about Italian food because that was such a surprise. But there were other things that were so parallel to being an athlete. And I think that so many people that go out and do a long walk or a big hike or a big swim and they get together with their friends afterwards and debrief and eat, that's something that they did with this group. And
that
was so cool because you were able to learn from each other, but also relax together and laugh together and eat great Italian food.
Now, one of the things I learned about Newfies is that they have two coats. And that helps them swim too?
That helps them stay warm. So the inner coat keeps them warm from cool waters, and then the outer coat sort of acts as a double layer of insulation. And they, unfortunately, because of their two coats, they shed a lot. So if somebody's thinking about getting a Newf, I think you need to really consider the amount of grooming and the amount of shedding these dogs do. They're big, beautiful, sweet, caring dogs, but they put a lot of hair out into the universe.
I think you called it dog confetti.
Yeah, I did. This great celebration of the dog.
Well, especially when you're on the beach with all the dogs and all the dog confetti is going all over the place.
Oh God, yeah. When they shake and their hair goes flying, the fur goes flying, and then the fun thing was that there was this competition to see which dog reached her first and which one would start shaking, and then this chain reaction.
Now, for you, swimming in these Italian lakes was interesting, too. And you write about how warm the water was. How did that affect you?
I felt like a noodle that had been cooked. It was
It was. And you've done extreme cold swimming.
Right. I've done the Bering Strait in Antarctica in a swimsuit. And so it was, this was about 80 degrees. And so it was extremely warm. And actually, I asked Donatella about that. It's like these dogs are big, furry, hairy dogs. And she said, in summertime, they swim a lot slower. And then as the season starts to change, when the water starts to get cooler, they pick up their pace.
Oh, that's interesting.
They're affected by it just like us. And, after the workouts that they did, the dogs would get out and lounge, under the pine trees and just roll on their backs and relax.
God.
But also the owners would, too, because they're doing these workouts along with their dogs. I mean, there was one Newf that was swimming a mile at a time but could swim much further. And they were doing workouts where they were learning to sprint. Like, they would need to get through currents just like a person that's doing open water swimming, a triathlete or just an open water swimmer. So they worked on a variety of different things. And at the end of the workout, they were tired.
This is also filled with other stories of yours, of dogs and swimming. One of them was this really interesting story about this young boy, I think Jimmy, learning how to swim, who was deathly afraid of the water because, why?
He had been thrown into the water by a swimming instructor, and Jimmy went to the bottom of the pool and was having a hard time in the deep end of getting back up. And he was about 5 years old at the time, and so he was 5 years old, and he was absolutely panicked, and he finally was able to get his head out of the water, and the instructor pulled him out of the water, and the next day did the same thing to him.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's awful because
I'm amazed that people still do this.
People still do this, and people still believe that it's okay to take a child or even an adult. I mean, I've heard about teenagers or older people just, okay, it's time for you to swim, and they'll just push them in the water. And so through my lifetime, I've actually taught private lessons and worked with people that were just so traumatized. One little girl had her front teeth knocked out because the swim instructor, this was much earlier on. This was in the 70s, but she was trying to get out of the pool, and the instructor pushed her back in the water, and she hit her teeth on the side of the pool. And it's just like the worst thing. So
But Jimmy ended up watching a dog swim, didn't he?
Jimmy had two Labrador retrievers that he absolutely adored. So I decided that what we would do is have Jimmy learn from them, but also I would ask him to teach them how to swim. Wow. They were great swimmers already, but so I would have him demonstrate dog paddle to them and have him throw the ball for them, and they would like retrieve and retrieve and retrieve to him.
And he loved it. He loved that. He was having a good time.
He had a blast, and he learned how to swim, and he became a person who loved the water. And so part of the writing of the book was talking about be kind, be gentle, reinforce good things, teach kids and adults and dogs how to swim, but do it in a way that's humane.
Throwing somebody in the water who's never been in the water before just seems brutal.
Yeah, I think so too. But I know that there are people that have had that done to them, and they can swim.
But
it's just not the way to do it. I mean, some people just become paralyzed by it, just like dogs. There was a neighbor who had a golden retriever, and the son threw the golden retriever in the back of the pool fairly recently, and now he won't go near the water. The dog won't go near the water because he's afraid.
But I want to end on it. We're almost out of time. I want to end on a positive note. There's great stories of body surfing dogs too. I think it's Otis Pork and Beans.
Yes. years and years and years ago, when I was working on a book called Swimming to Antarctica, I was staying and dog sitting for friends in their place in Emerald Bay near Laguna Beach. And so they had three Newfoundlands, and I was in charge of taking care of them. And so I went out swimming with them, and I knew that they were great swimmers, but I had no idea that
they were body surfers.
They didn't even need surfboards. They were like so good. They had the chests that were just like boat keels, you know, and they have webbed paws, so they could just like when they saw the wave coming, they would just get right in position and they would ride.
Oh my God. Well, this is what this book is about. It's a wonderful read. My guest tonight is Lynn Cox, endurance swimmer, writer, lecturer. She has set open water swimming records all over the world. And her new book is just so unique. It's Tales of Al, the Water Rescue Dog, the Making of a Super Athlete. Lynn, it's been a pleasure as always.
It has been great. Thank you so much, Mark.
You're listening to WISN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name's Mark Lynch. Good night.